Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 130. Sean James returns. He was on an episode a while back, and it was on that episode where he had shared at the age of 18 his heart had stopped and he was resuscitated and came back to life. Well, my good friend Sean James just went up and upped himself and died again. Yes. It's the craziest story in the world. Then they call him up and go, "Hey, I heard you died again. Want to know if you want to come on the podcast and talk about it?" And I've always said this, you know, Chris Hardwick, he cuts Chris Hardwick's hair. And Chris said, "Sean's just a beautiful guy." And ever since I met Sean, that's how I've always, you know, introduced him, spoke about him, described him. He's just a beautiful person. So for this cat to go through what he went through is, it's insane to me. You know, I mean, you know, you rarely hear of someone dying twice, and then it's someone you know, and then it's someone that wants to come on or is willing to come on your podcast and share his story. And we're on the phone, and I asked him to come back because, yeah, I've actually just headed out to go on the boat where I died. I'm like, yeah, another one of those things I've never heard anyone say. So out the gate from the get-go, I was completely thrilled and fascinated that he was going to come share his story. But I had no idea what would take place. So I'm going on record, by far, the most fascinating podcast I've ever done. I love documentaries. I love them. I just, you know, it's real. It's, you know, true story, and I just love them. And in my mind, I was like, this would have made the best documentary, and I would have told everybody to watch it because this guy's story is amazing, what he went through. I'm like, he's sitting in my home telling me this, you know, 3 feet from me, and I'm looking at him as he describes this story. I totally forgot I was recording a podcast, anything. It's the craziest story, well, personally, that I've ever heard live from one individual to another. But just for someone to go through that, I mean, I can't even really comprehend everything that he went through, is going through. But again, just a beautiful person. You know, it's like, well, I'll come on and share my story. You know, it wasn't easy. You know, and it wasn't that comfortable all the time for him. And, you know, again, he's just willing to do this. And, again, just one of the most beautiful people that is on this world. And his message from his experience, I think, is just as touching and as beautiful as he is. So just a huge, huge thank you to Sean. And enjoy. All right, sir, I have began the recording process for the Pro U podcast today with my guest returning from episode 35 a long, long time ago, and lots has happened. Why I've asked him back. Mr. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Sean James. You can find me at Sean James Hair.
Oh, pick that up. They can't even hear you. You can hold the stand or
there you go.
There you go.
Hey,
go one more time so they can hear you. Go now.
So I'm Sean James. You can find me at Sean James Hair on Instagram. You can see my life because I document it every day now. here I am here with you, Tom.
With the California Love hat on, looking like $1 million, Sean James. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me here.
And as you walked up, I said to you, I know how busy you are, so I really, really do thank you for your time.
Yeah, it's been a busy morning. I was over at Matthew Priest Salon in Santa Monica, and just met a bunch of new clients, which is really cool. Yeah, I had a busy morning this morning, and I'm here, made it here from Santa Monica to Hollywood.
That's a hike. Here.
And it's a busy day out there. The sun's shining. It's beautiful. It's
beautiful out. Man, and these last 2 days, right? I mean, they said it was going to warm up into the 70s, and it got to 80. So we were like 50 to 60 for almost a month.
I know. And then 2 days back, flannel shirt on.
We were 80. And I was like, it felt like it was, I mean, it was, I was hoping for 70. And it would have felt good. 80 was great, but it was just so... And today's, it feels like it's warming up again today. So
yeah, it's great. And now I'm after here, I've got Mr. Chris Hardwick at midnight. We're going to shoot at midnight, Tuesday's episode. So it's today's Tuesday. And I look forward to seeing Chris. He's doing so much stuff. Keeping me busy.
Well, he's busy, and I know you're busy.
And you're busy too, keeping him fit.
Yes, well, that's a joy. That's a joy. Come here, buddy. Lay down now. You want to come chill? Come on, lay down.
Or you Tom's go lay dog on your bed. Zen is here.
Zen, you want to go on your bed or you want to lay here? No, no, over here. Zen. No, 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 no. What do you want? This is a slight interruption here. What do you want, buddy? Lay
there
down.
There he goes. Got his bone.
Well, he'll normally just crash, but he's, I don't know, he's like, okay, there we go. He's good. Okay, so this is what I wanted to remember is the when I did catch you and asked you to be back on the podcast, I remember talking to you and we're on the phone and you said, well, I'm headed to the boat where I died on.
Yeah.
And I thought in that moment, and we can laugh about it now, but I thought I have never in my life heard that statement. And why I was calling you is because you had literally died.
Yep. Cardiac arrest.
The second time.
Yep, for the second time, yep. The first time I was 18 years old.
And I'm pretty sure we mentioned that on the first time you were
on.
And you had a little heart murmur-ish thing from that, right?
Yeah, I had a thing called Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome.
Okay.
So Dr. Wolff, Dr. Parkinson, and Dr. White all discovered it. So it's called Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome. And it's an arrhythmia. Back in 85 when I had my first operation, they splayed you. So they split you down the sternum and they went through the heart that way, and they fixed the bundle of hairs, the SA node and the A node, and then there's a little like bundle of nerves that control the heart's irregularity and or regularity. I had an irregularity.
Yes.
So then they fixed it, but now they go through a vein through either the groin or through the arm and they fix it that way. But I had the old school way. I should have waited another year, but you know, who knows if I would have lasted. So I had that. And then, so I died that time after I had the surgery. I died for 3 minutes and they resuscitated me. I remember coming alive and I had the burn marks all over me from the shock things.
Wow.
And I think I told you, you know, I kind of had some memories of like an otherworldly kind of thing. And it was a little bit special. Like I came back. My sisters told me that I seemed like a different person. Like I was completely different. I carried myself differently.
Really? I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but it's just it's amazing to me just to hear this stuff. You know,
kind of odd because I didn't feel any different. I just felt like me. Except, you know, I was recovering from a massive operation, which took a year to recover. I was in grade 12 at high school. Actually, I just met my buddy Chris Nile, who I went to high school with yesterday. He's here. He's a big business dude, and he's here from Melbourne, and he's scoping out communities to buy. And we just caught up yesterday.
Oh,
how fantastic.
It's
great to see him. And he actually brought up my heart surgery back then too. And he had lost his father during that year of high school, which I was so consumed with my own healing that I had forgotten that he had lost his father due to cancer.
Wow.
Him and his sister Bridget. And, he was telling me how difficult that year was for him too. But anyway, back to just cut recently, the second time was July 2nd and...
2016.
I'm sorry, July 3rd, 2016. 16.
And anything leading up to it feel...
We had the best day. I was with my partner at the time. I'm now married to him. I'll tell
well,
you that
something
story.
Else. Yes, yes, but, yes. Please tell him hi. Give him a big hug.
So, Izaro, I was with my partner Izaro and my buddy Michael Dodo. He owns West Central Foods, which is this massive food distribution company. He's an amazing dude, South African buddy of mine. He had invited us out to his boat, but Zaro and I just decided we wanted to go to the beach. We had gone to the beach and had a beautiful day in the morning. And he had taken a photo of me, and I'm walking back. There was this Russian yacht out, right out in the marina, just parked out there. Yeah. And I was in my, I like to wear a Speedo. I don't know why. I just, when I go to the beach, I wear a Speedo.
Be you, Sean. You're
and
you.
I'm just being me. And I was a lifeguard in Australia, so we wore Speedos as a lifeguard.
Yeah, it's what you're comfortable with.
What
I
swim in. Yeah. It's not, I'm not trying to be pervy or.
No, it's just who, yes,
what I
yes.
swim in. Anyway, so there's a photo of me walking back from the ocean, and it looks like I'm coming from the boat, and we're kind of like, you know,
oh, okay.
I'm like,
parked
yeah,
the boat,
I just
we're
parked my boat, and I'm just walking in.
Fantastic.
And while we were there, I think the day when Michael had invited us while we were out on the beach to go on the yacht, and he was having a group of people over, and we go over to the yacht, and my brother was arriving in town that day, and so was my best friend Teddy Thompson. He's a musician. Some of you might know him. He's an amazing musician, Teddy Thompson. And he's the son of Richard and Linda Thompson.
And we all getting together for a reason?
We were going to have a celebration on the 4th of July. My brother...
Oh, okay, so it was for the 4th. Okay,
yeah,
sorry,
so
I forgot that part.
Anyway,
got
we're
it.
Having a pre-party on the 3rd of July.
Okay, that's when you said July 3rd, so I wasn't...
Yeah.
Okay, got it,
yeah,
got it, got
so
it.
We were going over to the boat, and I was supposed to pick up my brother and pick up Teddy from the airport. And we go over the boat, and Bella Dodo, Michael's daughter, she's a real performer, and so she was... She was performing, doing some da 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 da, like the 4th of July kind of like routine with flags and jumping up and down. I think she's 9 years old, and she and her little girlfriends were doing a thing, and I was videotaping them. And that's all I remember. Next thing you know, I wake up 3 days later.
That was it, really?
And
you've nothing. Wow.
And I was in a hospital. I was at UCLA. There was Jamie Lee Curtis and Suzanne Yankovic and my partner Azaro, and they were in the hospital, and I was looking at doctors all around me, and I was alive.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I was back wow. alive. So, you know, they went on to tell me the story that I had died. I had had a cardiac arrest on the boat at that time. And, you know, what had happened was Bella jumped on me because I had fallen over while I was videotaping, or I was with my phone. I wasn't videotaping.
Yeah, that's what I say that all the time, and I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore.
Recording.
You know what I said
phone.
Yesterday? I told a girl, I got a beep. I got a beep. I said
oh,
a beep.
Beep.
And I meant a text.
On your pager?
Yeah, and I was like, how old was that? Came out of nowhere. Sorry, go ahead.
So Bella jumped on me. She had thought I was playing around, and then... Well, I know this happened because there was a video of it. I actually videoed my death. And
wow.
Which is really weird. So
one of the many weird things.
Yeah, because
wow.
I was recording at the time, the camera had
started
fallen
to fall
over at the same time.
Slow.
And I had had the record button on, so it fell over. So it recorded sound of me dying, so you could hear the gurgling and the...
That is insane.
And then you hear Bella going, stop, you're spitting on my couch. So she doesn't realize what's happening, and she's like telling me to stop drooling on her couch. So, and then she screams, and then Azaro came, and he... he saw what was happening. I was dead at the time, not breathing, and he resuscitated me And Azaro was a policeman.
Holy.
And he was a policeman in Chicago and Texas. And he knew, and he also works for a big law firm right now. And he's the head of security and safety. So he actually teaches resuscitation. So I'm on a $2 million yacht and just practicing dying for Azaro to do his resuscitation on me.
So are you good? How good are you? Let's see.
So anyway, that's not what happened, but he resuscitates me, and then Casey, who was the captain of the boat, I have to mention him. Casey Kramer, he quickly acted, and Michael Dodo came out, and the ambulance guys came and got me. What happened before that was Officer Campbell from the Marina Del Rey Sheriff's Department, they have a boat, he jumped on with his partner, and they kept on resuscitating me. They got me to the lifeguard, which then took me to the ambulance. I forgot to mention, we were out to sea. We were on the boat about to head out to sea. We were just in the canal and marina.
Okay.
So we were just close enough for them to get to me within a certain period of time.
I bet
time.
A lot of these little things mattered in the
oh,
end.
Every second.
Every second.
Every literally.
If you would have been a little this, or if you guys would have done a little of that, or if anything.
Literally. Every second counts when someone's starting
like
in front
like
of Zaro you.
Is how calm they are in those moments.
Yeah.
Like it is like on, go time, go. And when someone can be calm in that moment, bravo.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, one thing I know resuscitation because of being a lifeguard, but I've only ever had to try it once, and it was when I was a kid and a guy had drowned, and that's when I was in that action mode. He actually didn't make it. But, you know, in this moment, they got me to the critical care unit at UCLA, and Dr. Honda and Dr. Boyle and all the amazing nurses and orderlies there looked after me. They put me in a coma for 3 days. What they do is they put you on ice for at 30 degrees, and it cools and calms your brain down to stop scar tissue forming in the brain. And it's really essential to get put on ice straight away. And that prevents morbidity and death. And so the after effects of a cardiac arrest, this is all learned stuff that I've learned through going through it. It can continue. So if you have a cardiac arrest and you actually are revived, if they don't put you in on ice, the scarring of that can continue, which can kill you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
okay,
so
got
that's
it.
Why it was actually developed. I think it was developed from what someone, my partner told me, his research said that it was developed in Melbourne. And in the 90s, and that's something new. Now, there's only your phone's going off. There was there's only 5% rate of success.
Wow!
To make it out of the hospital, so only 5% of cardiac arrest people actually make it out of the hospital.
That's that low?
That low.
Dude, I would have... Wow, that blows me away.
When I left the hospital, the entire hospital applauded because I was like...
Well,
the cardiac,
one in a million then.
The cardiac
not one in a million, but that's insane.
Well, yeah, it's 5%.
But now, did they also know that this was your second...
No, they didn't know any of that.
They would have called other hospitals to come over and line up.
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting. Anyway, I got to finish the story. So
yes.
I wake up, and then there's Jamie Lee Curtis and Suzanne Yankovic, Weird Al Yankovic's wife, who were very, very good friends of mine. There they are, like my two big sisters. Just they have been there for 3 days with Azaro, taking care of everything. Fantastic. Calling my family, calling Chris Hardwick, because it was during a work period, calling my agent, calling everyone that needed to be called, and taking care of all of that stuff. Also, taking care of Azaro, who's my partner and in complete distress.
Well, yeah, first he had to resuscitate you, and then it hits him that what happened and what he did and what's going on, and that's heavy. That's heavy. Right.
So they've got like every kind of healthy alternative food that you could imagine, from moon juice and this and that place and sugar-free this and sugar-free that.
We will
that.
Love
and
him back to health.
They loved me back to health. So then they kind of tell me the story of, so Teddy was flying in that day and my brother, remember?
So, yeah, this is what I wanted to hear. Like, what's everyone thinking now? Hey, what happened to Sean, man? What's that lame excuse does he have?
So,
oh, he died.
So everyone kind of shows up at the hospital during my, you know, in my coma state. And then I find out that there was kind of a series of like really miraculous events. So Teddy arrived in town and he manages to make it to our place and gets into our apartment without like, you know, having any access to getting into the place. And then he manages to get to our place. Then he gets to the hospital. And then, you know, this is a long, boring story, but there was a weird thing where he has to go and pick up my brother from the airport. That's like his role was. He goes and picks up my brother from the airport, who he's never met, and in the middle of the airport has to find my brother at LAX. All he knows is he's arriving in the international terminal, and he's 26 wow. years old, and there's, you know, Australian guy who looks like this, and he's got to find my brother. So he finds my brother comes back.
Because your brother was looking for you, right?
Yeah.
Because he didn't know.
My brother
he
doesn't
was landing.
Know.
Yes, he doesn't know, exactly.
Yeah. So he doesn't know. So anyway, and they both, you know, they both stay. My brother ends up staying. Daniel Cummins is his name, and he ends up staying. I have two brothers, Daniel and Benjamin, but Daniel was traveling. He stays here, and he prolongs his trip for 3 weeks and stays and takes care of me. I mean, who knew? Who knew? He's here to take care of me, you know?
That's what I mean. Like, these people just, like, so we're weird. Here and didn't know why they were here.
Yeah.
But it was so a great weird. Thing of them being there.
They all got to be around.
That's fantastic.
So that was the series of events. So, you know, there's been a lot of really interesting stuff happened since.
Like what?
So,
what were your experiences since?
Well, you know, it didn't just end with me having a cardiac arrest. There were all the amazing doctors. There was a doctor named Tyler who was super cute. And I forget what Tyler's last name was, but he was there. He was one of the fellows. He was working for Dr. Honda as one of his fellows. And he really took care of me. And there were some weird things that happened afterwards. So I ended up having to have a device put into my chest. So I have a ICD device. I actually have the medical card here. I actually have to tell you exactly what it is. So you know, it's a ICD device. And it's made by Boston Scientific. It was actually made in Ireland in my father's hometown.
That's
Isn't
crazy.
Isn't that weird? So there's that, which was kind of like a weird thing. And, there was kind of like
all these little
weird little coincidences. Dr. Boyle was my Irish doctor, who was from the same city as my father. And he's the one who installed the device. And what the device does is it prevents me from, if I was to have another cardiac arrest, it will kick in. It's not a pacemaker, but it could be turned into a pacemaker.
Wow.
But it's set actually on the opposite thing, where it's set if my heart rate goes 250 beats per minute, it will kick in and
slow it down.
So it doesn't do anything, but it's actually really genius.
It's like a safety net.
Yeah, it's a safety net, and it lasts for 10 years. So it's not. I haven't had to use it, thank God.
Yes.
And then what were the other weird things that I wanted to mention?
Well, when you said that your sisters thought you were different the first time, did you feel, and you said you didn't feel differently, you were just you. The second time, did you feel differently or
look
at life
differently? Well, I came out of hospital, I lost 30 pounds in the hospital in 9 days. It was really, really, it's amazing.
That's unhealthy. Just that alone would be a health risk.
Well, I had been bodybuilding, so I had a lot of muscle weight that was just kind of sitting there, and that was probably deteriorating because I wasn't using it. And I was being fed intravenously, and you know,
how long were you in the hospital for?
I was in for 9 days. Yeah,
and that doesn't even seem long for having a heart attack.
Yeah,
seems like
it was crazy.
It
was pretty fast, actually. I was back at the gym 2 weeks later. Oh, this is the other crazy thing. So 9 days, I was back at the gym 14 days after.
Just so everyone knows, Sean's hardcore. He puts a selfie up of him at Gold's Gym every morning at, you get there at 4 a.m.?
4 or 5.
4 or 5 a.m.
It's been
every morning. Every morning. So bravo to consistency. But, so back to the gym.
So the gym was kind of a, you know, I spoke to my father about, what had happened, and my father actually has the same device. It's really weird, but his is his is for a different purpose. We have a different heart thing. You know, he's had 3 different devices put in his chest, and he's in his 80s. And I just talked to him about, like, you know, about what it's like and what do I have to do. And he's always told me, Sean, you put one foot in front of the other and you just keep moving. Uh-oh. And I really took that to heart, and I really,
good for you.
I really listened to that. And there's something about, you know, I'm a sober guy. I'm sober.
Well,
8
I was going to say AA, you know,
yeah.
Next indicated step.
There's something about just getting up and moving instead of sitting and wallowing.
Thinking. Amen. Amen, dude.
Letting your brain start doing all your movement for you. And
yes,
your brain can move in all different directions without your body actually going anywhere.
And then you'll be as tired as if you did something all
exhausted
day.
Exhausted or...
That's depression.
Or sad.
Yeah.
Or...
Like, well, depression is that thing, is you have so many things in your head, you can't prioritize, so the weight of all of them makes you tired. And you feel physically tired and mentally tired, but it's just because that nonstop
because the brain's
noise
making all of this stuff up.
Exactly.
And none of it exists.
No.
So, you know, he said, put one foot in front of the other and do it with grace and style.
Wow.
And...
Way to go, Pops.
You know... Like, that was how I did it. I got up. It was like taking one day at a time.
What had to be completely frustrating. I mean, here I am. I survived once. I'm da-da-da-da-da-da. And then it happened the second time.
Well,
was there part of you going?
No, that never really came into play because it was such different. They're such different things, you know. I was more a little confused with why it happened because I felt so extremely fit. You know, I'd been working out every day and there were no signs. I had a stress test a year ago and I came through
and
I was completely fine.
Anything beforehand at all?
No, there were no signs of it whatsoever. Now I have the new me and I have to keep going.
I'm
sure you want to know what it was like.
Yeah. Just whatever you want to share, bro. I mean, I'm happy you're here. And
well, you asked me about, was there any kind of spiritual thing? And, you know, whether you believe in God or not, I believe in God. I don't know what a heaven or hell is, and I don't know about that, but there was definitely dark and light. And the only way I can explain it was, it was like liquid. It was like really a dark liquid. And a really illuminating sky. So the bottom, I was flying between, and it was like
You were flying?
Yeah, I was flying.
Wow.
I was flying between. It was like I was in Never Ending Story kind of flying. Like it was fast and furious and like grand and flying through this incredible sky. And it was really freaking scary. Really scary because the liquid was like tar and it was coming up out of a ground or whatever it was. I don't know. And it was, and I don't know whether it was my brain creating this or whatever, but I remember it so vividly. And it was like liquid trying to reach up like fingers, like this tar was kind of finger like reaching towards me. And then the sky was like these clouds that had electric neon, like green, like futuristic, fantastical. I like the only crazy thing I can think of is a fantastical. Like that's a word I'm making up, but
I think those things are hard to put like human words too, because you're like,
it was so electric and it was crazy beautiful, but I kept on saying green, 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 and I wanted to land on green, and I remember landing on a patch of green, and green was the earth, and green was kind of like this place in between, and it was like a patch of green that I just landed on. And then I kind of came to, and that was that's what I remember. That's all I remember.
That's the 3 days.
Like that was like in my coma. I don't know when that was. They give you a drug that kind of takes away your memory. So it's also a little bit psychedelic. So I don't know if this is just where all that came from or whatever, but I really remember that vividly. And the only way I can describe what I really came away from that whole experience was, and you can see me, I have to look somewhere else because I have to visualize it, and the only way I can, I'm just kind of focused, but it was like my message that I got from it was that there's this like spiritual world that we all kind of want to know about, that's like, why is there a God, or is there heaven, hell, whatever? You know, is there this other side? And it was very Stranger Things. It was very much like Stranger Things, like that upside down.
Yeah.
Like it was very much like there was that there, but they wanted to be where we are. Like it was like we live, my message to me that I got from the whole thing was, we live in this world that the spirit world or whatever that is wants to be.
Wow, I've never heard that.
We're the living beings of what all of that wants to be. And here we are thinking, oh, we want to know about all of that. That wants to be us. Like it wants to be in physical form and be able to pick things up and touch things. And,
therefore, we should be rejoicing and celebrating.
Yeah, like this was
here.
My message. Like this
We've
is,
made it.
You are here. Like this is, don't search so much for this other side.
Yeah, what is after?
Don't worry about it.
You're here.
Focus here now.
Right.
Love that. I love that.
You're
Sean.
In it. You're in it. Like this is your chance to put your feet in water and feel what water feels like.
And if you were a spiritual being, you would be watching human beings putting their feet in water.
Exactly.
You could remember what water
just
felt
wishing
like.
You could freaking
dude,
get
that's
in
awesome,
the
John. That's so cool.
And here we are, you know. You know, those of us with hands and feet, it's like We can do that.
You can do it. Well,
there
I say
are
that
people
on the
that
podcast
don't have
a
hands
lot.
And feet.
I say that on the podcast. I go, just remember, if you're having a bad day, you get to have a bad day.
Right.
You get to. I was watching this documentary, and it was, you know, people were depressed, and this one woman started talking about her husband who was currently dying. And she said, we'll take a shitty day right now over no day.
Yeah.
And when she said that, looking in the camera with tears in her eyes, you felt that. And I'm like, okay, now y'all, whoever's complaining about whatever's going on in your life, look at that woman right now and then, you know, take to heart. And that's what I mean. I think however you learn those things,
yeah,
be thankful. You know, you might get 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years.
Right.
You should be enjoying, and you know, but again, I've been in a dark place before. I've felt funky before, but what it's just cool to me to hear your story and going, here's where I ended up.
Right.
It's like, well, yay, you got through it, and yay that you have that kind of, well, if I have another moment, another day, I'm going to celebrate it, because, you know, what I've learned through whatever your journey was that this is where we should be celebrating.
Yeah, you got to celebrate living your day. I also put 20 pounds back on, but I came out hungry.
I came out working out, eating, taking a lot of calories, lifting heavy, building muscle, and then all of a sudden nothing.
Yeah.
Your body's going, we liked that. Yeah. We were doing that. We're used to that. Let's get
I wanted pancakes.
That.
I just want pancakes
well,
all the time.
Well, good for you, though. That that's what you wanted.
Every day, I'd be
but
happy.
I always say to people, isn't it cool that when you
stop
were...
Stop looking at my stomach.
I'm saying, when you came back, though, that you wanted to work out. You know what I mean? It's cool. Yeah. It was like, I took that break and I feel good. It was like, no, I want to get back. You know, your body craved.
Oh, that's the other thing I was going to tell you. So I go to the gym and I'm on the treadmill. And
everybody at the gym here?
Well,
did they hear about what?
Yeah, they all knew.
And
yeah,
you were gone.
Yeah, because Michael Dodo is my buddy. He's a big bodybuilder there.
Oh, okay.
And so he'd told everyone, Sean died on my boat. Yeah, good. Wow. So he's a funny guy. Yeah. He knew I'd like that. So he's a character, really funny guy. So I get to the gym and everyone's here, what happened, whatever. So I'm on the treadmill and I get off the treadmill and I walk past, I walk to go outside and do something outside. And this guy goes, hey. And I'm like, huh? And he goes, you're Sean, right? And I said, yeah. And I forget his name, but he told me his name. One of the things is I've lost a bit of my memory. And he tells me his name, and I said, oh, hi. And I'm thinking, oh, did I cut his hair? Like, maybe I cut his hair. And because sometimes I'll cut people's hair, and I don't see them. I'll maybe do it
out of sight, out of mind, yeah.
And I don't
forget
remember
where
everybody's name. So, or does he come to the salon and go to someone else?
Yeah, and you just remember the face.
And I know his face from somewhere. And he goes, you're Sean, right? And I go, yeah. He goes, I'm so-and-so. He says, I'm the one that put you in the coma on ice 9 days ago. And he goes, I saw you on the treadmill and I couldn't believe that you were here. And
that's insane.
He started crying.
Oh.
And I, like, he had a tear in his eye. And I started, like, and I was like, holy shit, that's crazy. Like, how could you remember? He said, you look so good. Look so good. He says, it's unbelievable.
That's, he goes, it's like you had angels, dude.
No,
it's like you had
there's
angels
another
around
part.
You. Okay,
there's
go
another
on,
part.
Go on, sorry.
He says, I saw you yesterday. You were on the treadmill next to another guy who I had put on ice, and you two were working out next to each other.
And not knowing it. And here he's looking, going, oh.
So crazy.
What was that moment like?
Could you imagine?
That? No, that's what
Could
I'm saying.
Could you imagine being him?
Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like being responsible for.
You were on the treadmill
helping
next to another guy. Who I had on ice, who had the same cardiac arrest.
And it would probably be more likely to show up at both of y'all's funerals.
So
not at
crazy.
The gym, and especially you 2 weeks later and see. What a win-win for him, though.
So weird.
I mean, that had to be a really uplifting.
Yeah.
See, that's what, when my sister.
I mean, that's stuff that you can't make up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When my sister was passing, you know, she died for 8 years. At one time, her pastor said, you know, Tammy, why do you think this is all just about you? And when she told me that, I knew immediately what he meant. Because I had, back then, I had sent out these Sunday morning messages every Sunday morning.
Right.
And I started talking about Tammy and da-da-da. And people that I, you know, I'd send them out and people would pass them along. And I'd hear back from them I've never known, never met. And they'd be like, thank you for sharing Tammy's story. And I'm like, yeah. Tammy, your story is affecting people that I don't even know, that right. you don't even know. Right. So again, all these people, you know, because obviously it's you that passed, it's you that came back, it's about you, but everybody, you know, one degree away was affected.
Yeah.
And that moment affected them
yeah.
in a certain way. And then you hear about that cat looking at two dudes on a treadmill. Right. That's insane.
Right. I know.
Wow.
So crazy. Anyway, what an amazing thing those people at UCLA do. Every day they go in and they go to work, and you know, I'm in this makeup artist hairstylist forum, and they were talking about how what's the grossest stuff you have to deal with every day. And I'm not one to comment on a bunch of things, but every now and again I'll throw a comment out, and I just said, none of it's as gross as half the things nurses have to do every day that they get up and they have to battle with, you know. Well, it's not a battle, but they have to.
My sister was. She was a nurse.
They have to go and they have to deal with the dirtiest of dirtiest human being crud, you know. And that's just their job every day. And they save lives doing it. Like, and here's makeup, bunch of makeup artists in a stupid makeup forum complaining about eye boogers and you know.
Well,
nose
again,
crud.
That's I figured when you came today and chatted, you would talk about having the right perspective. I mean, right. you can't go through things like that, and that's what I just believe is as we evolve as more of a spiritual being than a human being, when we start recognizing the human things
right.
in other people. Like, yeah. really, that's what you're complaining about, or that's what you're mad about, or yeah. that's what's got you off track. And I'm just thankful for all the lessons that I've gone through in life, because to me, they've humbled me.
Right.
And when you were talking before about, like, it just makes sense. Like, it's just this simple. Like, just look at life this way. To me, that's what I did. I just wanted life to be simpler so I didn't have to figure it out or try to figure it out every day, and I could just enjoy it.
Right. So for me, I just had to get up and keep moving forward and putting my foot in front of another. But this morning, where I've just come from, is doing a client who's just had breast cancer, and her father is has Legionnaire's disease.
Wow.
All in 1 week. And,
wow.
you know, and I just... You got to have perspective, you know, and I'm doing a hair, and we were kind of laughing about like how crazy life is. And she didn't know what I'd gone through. I said, well, I hate to like
one up you,
but, I died in July. And, she says, what? I said, yeah.
That's got to be the weirdest thing to bring up to someone that you haven't seen in a while and doesn't know.
Yeah.
So this happened.
So we had a good laugh. And, you know, I told her, you're going to have a great bikini body. So,
there you go. There's the positive
yeah,
side.
That's your
There's
positive.
The positive side. So now that we're 6-7 months, how's everything? Like, you feeling back to normal, or do you know what normal is? 100%.
I feel good. In 2 days' time, I'll have 8 years sober. February 2nd.
Congrats on that.
Is my sobriety date?
But I meant from July 3rd. I mean, that recovery. You know, however you are, do you feel like you did before July 2nd, or is it not even comparable?
I feel fatter, but I feel good. I feel healthy. They put me on medication.
No, you're finding it hard to burn the calories that
well,
you like
you
used to?
Well, they put me on this medication. It's called carvedilol.
That's the stuff that typically makes it more difficult.
Well, it slows your heart rate down.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I spoke to the doctor. Dr. Shamsa is my doctor. He's an amazing heart aftercare specialist at UCLA. And Dr. Shamsa says to me that the heart medication doesn't slow my metabolism down, but it slows my heart down, which means when I get on a treadmill, it's hard to get my heart rate up.
To like the fat burning.
To the fat burning level. So
wow.
There's a weird like kind of thing that's, I don't know if it's me psychologically. I can't get past losing the 20 pounds, but you know, before I had the heart thing, I wanted to put 20 pounds of muscle on because I wanted to look like a big muscle man. But now I just look like a whatever. I don't know.
You look great, Sean.
Yeah, I have to buy extra large shirts.
Well, but listen, though. Listen. I mean, I get where how you feel. You know what I mean? I do.
Yeah.
But listen. Okay. So I'm going to tell you something, okay? It's tough to fight your whole life for something and get it and then realize it's fragile, it might not last, and you start realizing what's really important.
Right.
Like, what's really important is you walk the earth and you've changed people's lives by being you. Now, you want to look in the mirror and get on the scale and put on old clothes, you can do that. Let me finish. Let me finish, please. Let me do this, okay? You're this beautiful person, and I get to say this. Let me finish, okay? You get to, because we're human, we're flawed. We're going to feel pain. We're going to get hurt, and we're going to ask questions. But our one true power, my friend, okay, I care about you a lot. I want you to know that. Your one true power is to not think about that and think about this. Pick that or pick that. You get to do that. So when I think of you, I got about 30 wonderful things that I think of. And again, I know you, but I don't know you that well. I haven't spent a ton of time with you. But I'm just saying that the time I've spent with you, how people speak about you, the lives that you touch, what you post, how you give, how you love, okay? That's the best stuff of anyone, okay? So when you, here's your challenge, when you see yourself as the people around you see you, that's when you'll have mastered yourself. Right. Because when you just spoke, I heard a little conversation. If there's a conversation going on in your head, that means there's two voices. That means one doesn't belong because you only have one voice. And the other voice is the bad voice. You should. Look at that. Da, 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 da. He's alive. Shut up. He's alive. He's a beautiful person. You're one of the most. I always say that. And Chris, I think, said, he goes, Sean is beautiful. And ever since then, I said, yeah, Sean, beautiful. Most beautiful person I know. Beautiful person, beautiful person, beautiful person. Now, again, your goal, your challenge, your work, time, and effort goes to seeing yourself as all of us do. And it's kind of everyone's thing. But when people walk the earth as good as you, I just get mad when they feel bad at all or critique themselves at all, because that is a voice that has been in your head since childhood. And it was placed there, and it's been your friend, and it happens and it pops into your head just like us all. We all have that little voice that comes in and says, hey, by the way, you're still no good. And I learned mine from my father, so I got really good at beating myself up. And then I met this person and they kind of did. And then I hung out with this person and they kind of did. I'm like, familiar. And then at 48, 49, I said, okay, I'm going to work on me. Okay, it wasn't like a choice. I mean, I was just left alone. People were leaving, people were getting out, and I started going with the flow and realizing some things. I'm a good person, and if you participate in my life, I'll participate in your life. And I'm going to keep my world small, and I know what I'm going to do. And it was really just doing that to get my bad out and then going, okay, now I'm thankful. I don't have that bad voice in my head. What am I going to do now? Now I'm going to tell people about it. Now I'm going to affect people. Now I'm going to try to talk to anybody I can who's got that voice in your head. Now, I wasn't going to, you know, invite you over to say, hey, Sean, you need a pep talk. You know, it wasn't my intention at all. I wanted to hear the most amazing story that I just heard ever before. I've never heard that. It's amazing. It's amazing. Like, again, it's like I think of Puppy on Tuesday's a quote I came up with. Be like, Puppy on, dude, you're alive. I'm alive. Isn't it great? It's Tuesday. Then I think a guy like you, like, has died twice and you're alive. Like, you should just be walking around with that. Just hear everyone. And I'm not saying you aren't. And I'm not saying you aren't. But when that little voice enters and it comes out, especially in a moment like this, yeah, that 20 pounds, and yeah, I wanted to, shut up.
I know, but there's that voice. That's all you'll never, ever be happy with, too. Because there was a time I wanted to be skinny, And so...
But listen, though. But listen, Sean. This is what I'm saying, is you're tethering inside to outside.
Right. I know. And a physical, the physical look and everything is, you know, just my own personal obsession. But I know a lot of people do, you know, I have been manorexic. I've been, you know, not really. I haven't been hospitalized for that or anything. But I know that's a condition where you, people have body dysmorphia. Yes. They look and they see themselves and they want to be something else. I don't have it that bad. Nope. But I definitely look at Instagram and I see all these amazing bodies on there and think, God, I want to look like that, you know. And I follow these different men's things, different bodies, and I look, oh, and I use that as inspiration. In fact, my friend Mike O'Hearn, who's this amazing bodybuilder.
Mike O'Hearn fan.
He's a
tell him I said hi.
Very good friend of mine, and you should check out his new thing called Fit Plan, and he's really cool.
Well, when you have a friend like that, and, I mean, physically speaking, he's probably the best built, best looking. He was a top fitness model for years, and he just turned, I think it's 46 or 45.
I think he might be 48 now.
40, is he that? Is it 48? Yeah, and he's still in amazing shape. So again, you walk around, hang
he's
out with
like
that dude.
He's like a physical gem.
Yes, that he's flawless, and he's a great guy.
But I see him at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I see how hard he works for that body.
Exactly.
And that body is like, you know, there are hundreds of pounds of muscle lifted from that body. And that's how he gets there.
And that's an inspiration for you. Yeah, but again, if you look at him physically, that's what I'm saying. You
can't lift that kind of weight.
No, but I'm saying as far as looking. I'm just saying look-wise. It's hard to be next.
He's been doing that for years. I mean, he was an American gladiator.
He's a genetic freak, though.
Yeah.
I mean, his first competition, he was 14, and he competed with elder teens, and he beat them all.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's been doing that, and he's a black belt in judo. I mean, he's as far as fitness freaks go, he's one of them.
Yeah.
So use that for inspiration, but don't compare, though. You can't compare, though. That's the point.
No, I definitely do not compare myself to Michael.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when you let on about feeling bummed out about your weight.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. When you're hanging out in a gym.
I'm not too. I mean, there are people that battle a lot more with weight than I do. I understand that. I'm just saying.
Do you know that live experience I did?
I'm very
Do you know that live experience thing I did?
I'm sorry.
No. I understand. Yeah. But you know that live experience thing I did on? I did a podcast, the second one every week, and trained a guy that had never worked out before. And he kind of came in and he showed me like this picture. And he's like, well, here's my before picture. And then we'll take an after picture. We started working out along the way, like a month. He was learning everything, you know, about he didn't do anything. So he learned a lot of stuff.
Right.
And it was like one day he was like, well, I'm just on what? He was like, well, I go on Reddit and I look at these pictures. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, I said, okay, does that picture that you see of that physical side of that person say to you that that person therefore has it all, has it good, has what I need? And that guy for 4 months, we met every Tuesday, struggled because we'd start talking and you'd hear that voice come up. And then finally he just started understanding, and it was what you do. You go to the gym, you show up, and then you're thankful.
Right.
And that, the fact that you get to do that and that you'll become a better you is why you're thankful. But as soon as you start going to the physical picture,
you're going to it. You go to the gym because you want that.
It moves. You get older, you lose weight. You get younger, you're heavier. You've lost weight. I mean, Chris has said, he's like, wow, I can't believe Sean. Where Sean used to be, look how, I mean, again, that's another guy who we know and love, who talks about you so highly. Yeah. And that's what I do. I think it's a challenge for every person to try, I always call it harmonious balance, is when you see yourself as others see you.
Right.
You know, no one has... I hang out with Sean because I'm hoping he gets a little better at some things.
I hope he gets skinnier.
Yeah.
He's got potential to lose 20 pounds.
If he lost 10 pounds, I might start having lunch with him.
Right. He looks good now, but I can't even imagine what he's going to look like 20 pounds. So I want to get in now.
Exactly. So that's the thing. So sure. That's what I'm saying is just when it pops up, when that voice pops up, don't let it. Because like I said, dude, you're a beautiful cat. And, you know, just your story, who you touch people just by being you. And then you have this amazing story. And then you talk about all these amazing people. And I know they're all affected. And they're out there telling this story. And they're all walking differently. So that's what I'm saying. In the moments when you're a little weary or tired or down, try to think about that stuff versus...
Well, I'm really lucky because I have my partner with me who...
let's talk about for our closing little things. I know you got to run. Well, what's it like being married? Congratulations.
The closing part of it was that I just decided that I wanted to ask Azaro to marry me.
Was this kind of an impetus for that?
You know, life's short.
Bravo, dude. Sean, I love you, dude.
As
Bravo.
I just found out,
Bravo.
Life is short.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking
and
about.
And who knows what's going to happen in my life at this stage, and especially after what just happened. So I took Azaro. We went together. He actually bought the tickets, and I paid for the accommodations. But we went to Hawaii. And we stayed at Al Yankovic's
place. And this was when was it?
That was in September.
September? Okay.
So we were on a break. Chris was on a break from at midnight, so we went on a break. And actually, Chris had just gotten married to Lydia.
Saw you there.
Yeah. And I had introduced Chris and Lydia about 2.5 years ago. And
you introduced them?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, no way.
It was.
Look at you, Mr. Magic.
Well, you know,
there
were a lot of key players in that. There were a lot of people involved. But, I got to introduce them, and that was pretty cool. And so they fell in love and got married. And then the day after their marriage, their wedding, which I saw you at.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. And the day after, we went to Hawaii, and we went to Maui, and I stayed at Suzanne and Al Yankovic's place. And on their cliff, on their property, I asked them if I could ask Azaro.
So was your plan to go to Hawaii to get engaged?
Yeah.
Was your plan on? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It was the plan. So I took the ring with me, and I asked Azaro to marry me, and he said yes. And otherwise, I was going to push him off the cliff.
That'd be a great thing for that show, that bachelorette thing, right at the end, going, stand after the cliff.
There is a video of it somewhere. I haven't posted it, though.
Now, was he shocked, surprised? Had you let on? Did he kind of think
shocked.
Something
we
was up?
We both cried. We both cried.
Oh,
yeah, it was kind of awesome.
Dude.
I didn't get down on one knee because it was all volcanic rock and I cut my knee.
We'll cut you up, dude. That ain't fun.
So he said yes. And then we went to the Beverly Hills Courthouse. I forget what date it was. He's going to kill me. But we went to the Beverly Hills Courthouse and got married. We figured that we wanted to do it while Obama was in, just in case any kind of executive orders got changed. So we decided to do it last year. He's awesome. And
how was marriage
really,
life?
It was pretty cool. It was just him and I were under this weird thing with a judge. But the funny thing was... is, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis is one of my best friends. And the funny thing was, is there was Tony Curtis and Janet Leigh up getting married right above us at the Beverly Hills courthouse. So it was really kind of weird.
No way.
And it was so like, what is this picture of them getting married here in our thing? We didn't have any witnesses. We just did it because we didn't want to offend anyone. So we just said No, just us. And we were both dressed in our work clothes, and we went straight to work afterwards. So that was done in the morning, and I think at 11 o'clock, and I had to be at work at 2. So we didn't even go and have a celebratory lunch.
Well, Hawaii was
Nals
pretty special, though. Hawaii
was awesome. And next year, we were going to have a big wedding at Michael Dodo's place, and Jamie was organizing it, and so was Chris and Lydia, and... we just decided that we're going to just let it be, just how it is. Bravo. So we don't need to have a party, although it would have been fun for everybody to get together. But at the moment, we're just saving to buy a house.
You did what was important for you guys.
Yeah, we did.
And that
we did the
priority
small,
number one.
Small thing.
You wanted to accomplish something. You did it. You know where you felt. I think, again, Hawaii was the celebratory part of it. And
yeah.
I think you're in a good place.
You know, the interesting thing is people are, you know, there's like civil union and all of that stuff. And you know, the question is like, why do you guys want to do a heterosexual thing and get married? And, you know, after what I went through with like dying and anything that I have, I wanted to make sure that Azaro was covered and that he had legal rights to do whatever.
Yeah, that's some crazy stuff you have to think about when
you
that
have
happens.
To worry about that, and he wouldn't have had any legal rights to,
which would have sucked,
give any things. And luckily my brother was there and he was family, so he could approve things that needed to be approved. But you know,
well, the whole
we needed
cliche,
to make
live
sure
and learn.
That
you know,
that
you learn some things and you're like, hey, let's move forward with this information.
Yeah, so now I have a true partner, and
congrats,
and it's awesome.
Well, hey, awesome. I know you got to run because you got a busy, busy world. So thank you, Sean.
Thanks,
I mean, that
Sean.
Was you're an amazing person. And
you're amazing too. Thanks for having me back a second time. I feel really blessed.
Well, hey, if you die a third time, you come back again.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right, everybody. Just remember, you are worth it. Welcome to your Pro You moment. If you can find a spot on the floor, you can cross your legs, close your eyes, and just become aware of your breathing. Now let's back that up. If you can't sit on the floor, if you can't cross your legs, no worries. Glad you're here. Sit how you can, sit where you can. And then close your eyes and become aware of your breathing. In the nose, out the mouth, elongate it, slow it down, become aware of it, experience it, control it. You've disconnected your mind and body. You are now present. Best defense against being distracted. Connect your mind and body. Bring that navel into the spine, shoulders above your hips, neutral neck. Search for, find tension in your body. Try to breathe through it. Relax. Where and when you need to, continue to breathe. Continue to stay connected as best you can for 180 seconds. I'll tell you when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. you can stay there physically for a moment longer. If you need to stretch or move, that's fine. Just kind of hang with me for a minute or so longer. In my humble opinion, I don't think you have to be spiritual or believe in anything to believe and be affected by someone's story. You know, and about what Sean was sharing, you know, about being here. This is the good. You get to feel water on your face, feel the wind, see the sky, feel the warmth of the sun, cry, laugh, sing, dance. You know, we get to experience all that. You know, we get to, I think that's the gift of life. You know, we get to do all these things. Some we don't understand, some aren't comfortable. But I think if you believe you're here for a reason, and you want to be the best you, I believe a lot of these things will come to fruition for you, and you'll see the truth on your path, and you'll gain that clarity, and your perspective will shift, and you will see things as you should. Peace and God bless.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.